Good morning. Shout out to everybody jumping in today, man. We are logging in from our home, the West Coast, but you know, good morning to all our peeps who are joining us from afar. So cool to have you with us, kind of rocking with us online, either out of city or out of state. And that's what's cool about our DNA. You might have heard it said this way before, or just our, you know, our tagline for our church is this: Christ at the center of me, and me at the center of his city. And that's kind of our big motto, right? And we believe in living that out no matter what area code you find yourself in today. And you know, it's domestic and international, man. All types of area codes, because the mission of Jesus crosses all borders. It crosses all barriers to create bridges, man. And you know, man, the message hasn't even started today and we're already spitting fire, you know what I'm saying? But my name is Josh and I'm one of the leaders around here. And as you can tell, we don't take ourselves seriously, but we do take God seriously. And you picked a great weekend to hang with us because we are launching a new series today called Detox. And I love, you know, launching new talk series. It's always fresh. It's always new. It's exciting because God always has a fresh word for you and me. And he always has something new. He has, you know, a great word of encouragement, a word of direction even, a God-breathed message of hope for you and I to walk away with and apply in our weeks. And it's what I love about this place. It's what I love about Center Church, man. We are simply a community of ordinary people who's experienced the refreshing love of God. And we want other people to experience that too. And I don't know about you, but quarantine got me, okay? And it got me good. And what I mean is that it got me out of a good rhythm, okay? You know what I'm saying? I noticed myself out of the regular daily rhythm, and I even developed some less than favorable habits, right? I don't know if you can resonate with that. There's a lot of snacking going on in the Pasqua house, okay? Even just getting up in the morning looks a bit different. Netflix is a common place of worship, you know what I'm saying? Can I get an amen? A lot of social media watching going on. Not that it's a new thing, just more than usual, right? And the curiosity of keeping up with what's happening in our world, in our current context, right? What's reopening? You know, who's saying something now? Just really infatuated with the hottest news. And more than ever, we're being inundated with information and trying to navigate this new normal. And maybe we've even been growing comfortable with being out of that regular schedule. And that might be you, or it may not be, but the reality is this: there's a lot going on, and it's vital to take some intentional time to detoxify, okay, from some of those things. And this is what detoxing means, okay? It's in your notes. To detox, right? It's the removal of toxic substances from a living organism. And there are toxins that we ingest, that we eat, right? And we'll talk about that also in this series, okay? But, you know, there are toxins from our spirits. There are toxins that pollute who we are. And understand this, okay, that there are three parts to us as human beings, okay? We are kind of triune beings. The first part is our spirit, okay, which is like God. It's a spiritual part of us. And then we have our soul, which has all the emotions. It has a will. And then the physical body. It's all this goodness right here, right? And for most people, you know, this detox process is just that physical part. But there are toxins that can get in our spirits from time to time. There are toxins that even get into our souls from time to time. So from time to time, we need to remove some of those things that are toxic to our spirits, okay? And in order for me to thrive, in order for me and you to really live and to grow and to operate the best that I can in navigating this Jesus way of living, I've got to regularly detox myself, okay? I've got to detox some of these areas in my life. I got to pivot from some of those things for a better spiritual health. And that's the title of today's talk, right? Detoxifying your spirit. Let me ask you a question. How's your spirit doing? Have you been snacking on a little too much news? Have you been binge eating negativity? Okay, come on now, right? We're going in today, man. We're gonna get all up in your business today. And that's not to put anybody down, Okay, that's not to cast any shame. It's actually a really great challenge. And the way that we, you know, say it around here is we call ourselves up, or we call others up. Okay, we get called up from the mundane. We get called up from the mediocre because we desire God's best for ourselves and even for others. It's a call up. So let's start off in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And just to give you a little context in this passage, okay, it's actually written to Christians, those who are already following Jesus, right? And we're talking about detoxifying this morning. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." And you might be like, "Josh, what are you talking about? Yoked, like what is that?" And this word yoked means to have a closeness or a common fellowship with. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, be aware of what you're allowing to be close to you, okay, closeness to you. Be aware of what you're allowing, you know, common fellowship with you and your circle. Basically, be aware of the environment that you're letting influence your thinking and your mind. And he continues on, "For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Okay, and that's rhetorical. He knows the answer to that question. He's making a point here that they don't have anything in common. Okay, light has nothing in common with darkness. Wickedness and righteousness doesn't have anything in common. Okay, we're gonna continue on. "What harmony is there between Christ and Belial?" Like what does Belial mean? It basically means a demon, okay? Christ and Belial, there's no commonality there. There's no harmony. "What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God." We are temples. Hey, okay, let me say it this way. Church buildings aren't sanctuaries. We are. And God doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in people. He dwells in us. Buildings are not holy. Okay, you're holy. God doesn't want to live in a building. Guess what? He wants to live in you. And we are the place where God wants to dwell. We are the temple of the living God. And then he continues to quote some promises God has to his people. This is kind of from the Old Testament, okay? It says, "As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." God's saying, hey, I want to do life with you. I want to live with you. I want to walk with you. I want to dwell in you. I don't want to dwell in a building. I want to do that with you. I want relationship with you. So here's the challenge. This is how you do it, okay? This is kind of the secret sauce. We're going to continue. "Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." He's saying, I want some more, you know, intensity in my presence in your life. I want more intensity of my presence in your home and in your family and every single part of you. I want to be part of that. But that can't happen if you are yoked together with other things. So come out from those things. We got to detoxify from those things. So here's the question of the day. What is in me that shouldn't be? Okay? What's in your life that is keeping you from God working in you? What am I allowing to influence my thinking that is harmful for my spirit? Okay? Because the level of God working in you, the truth is, it's really up to you. It's up to us. And that's based on how close you are to God or to the things that are toxic to your spirit. Does that kind of make sense? And here's kind of the next chapter. It's a continuing thought. It says, since we have these promises, okay, what promises are you talking about? Okay, the promise that God will be closer to us, working in us if we separate ourselves from these things. Okay, since we have these promises, it says, "Dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Notice, God doesn't do the purifying here. Okay, that's on us. Let's purify ourselves. It's our responsibility. And this process of purifying determines how we get close to or how far we stray away from the God who wants to work in our lives. It says, let us purify ourselves from what? From these toxins. from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, so that we can perfect holiness out of reverence for Almighty God. Okay? It's a spirit detox. Well, how do I know I need a detox? You know, what's the symptom? If I can, you know, if you can resonate with this, okay, what we're going to be talking about this morning, you might need to detox this week. I know I do. Okay, here's what David said when he got too far away from God. Psalms chapter 13, verse number 2, it says this: how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Okay, time out. Let's take a time out there for a second. How many of us are wrestling with our thoughts today? Okay, that might be you. It's like, hey, I want to do this, but I struggle with that. I want to do that, but, you know, I know it's right, but I'm struggling about this. And there's kind of this wrestling match that goes on. Can I say this? That's me too. Okay, if that's you, you're normal. And it continues on. And every day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Another translation actually says like this: how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Okay, David was discouraged. He was depressed. And this was a guy that was leading God's people. You know, someone who was referred to as a man after God's own heart. And he was wrestling with some things inside. And this is so true that, you know, when I'm ingesting, right, when I'm allowing the influence of the things that are apart from God to come into me, and I get my eyes off of Jesus, I start to rely on myself to kind of pull me through this life. I become this recycled being of toxins. And that doesn't produce life. It produces sorrow. We see here even the life of David, it produced discouragement and even depression. So what do we do about that? Now that we know that, what do we do about it? Okay, in Romans chapter 7, I'm just going to kind of set us up here. Okay, Paul describes his own wrestling match with his flesh. And I'm not going to read the whole thing for you this morning, but it went kind of something like this, right? He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do, but I hate what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Apostle Paul started to rap there for a second. He's like, hey, I just keep doing stuff that I don't want to do. I keep wrestling with my flesh. Doesn't that sound like the normal person, the person like you and me who's just trying to navigate this Jesus path the best way that they can? I hate that, but, you know, I do it sometimes. And if that's you, you know, you're not alone because that's me too. And I say all that to kind of set us up in Romans chapter 8, because this gives us the prescription for a spirit detox, okay? We found the baseline, okay? We assessed the symptoms. We diagnosed the problem. Now let's grab the prescription, okay? Romans chapter 8, this is what it says, starting in verse number 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Okay, here's the problem. You're thinking on the wrong stuff. You're thinking about the wrong things. Your mind is set on some of these wrong things. And for us to have this successful detox process, man, we have to pivot. We have to adjust the game plan of what's coming in and what's going out. Okay, and it continues on. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Therefore, brothers, okay, and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, okay, I'm going to stop there. Or in other words, if you detox, is what it's saying, if you detoxify these things, okay, if you take that stuff out, okay, living in the Spirit or in close connection with God means you clear out those toxins, you clear out the contamination, you put that to death, is what the Bible says, so that, here's the end of it, you will live. So that we can experience life. So that we can truly live. And I want to share, you know, with you real quickly three things to take out of our lives to detoxify from, and three things to put back in, and stuff that, you know, we want to starve and kind of put into the grave so that we can truly live this life the way that God designed. And again, I'm not asking you to do this for 21 days. Okay, we're not asking you to do this kind of from this day forward. Okay, let's take small steps in the right direction. All we're asking is that you take out some of these things and you put in some specific things for the next 7 days. Okay, just this week, and see how God works in you. Okay, here's the first one. If you're taking notes, some of the things that we have to starve, okay, the first one is doubt. Write that down. It's doubt. Okay, let's starve doubt. Let's detox doubt. Some of us, you know, we don't even realize how much this, you know, runs our lives. It kicks us in the behind, you know what I'm saying? It whoops our blessed assurances, if you know what I mean. And many of us, you know, have already allowed doubt to fill our minds and affect our hearts. And maybe it's even gone so deep where it's put a wedge between us and God. And this is what doubt is, okay? It believes what the world thinks about things. It gets away from God's truth to trust in man's assumptions. And this is what it kind of looked like for me and my wife, Bree, at the end of 2019, going into 2020, okay? Let me give you a little snapshot of what our world kind of looked like. This was us, right? Okay, it's, you know, 2019's, you know, over. You know, Thanksgiving is here. New Year's coming up. Like, woohoo, new year, new me, baby. You know what I'm saying? And then boom, Josh, you're going to step into a different season at Center Church. My eyes get wide, you know what I'm saying? Get a little cross-eyed, right? Deer in the headlights. The security I used to know, okay, now that all changes. And doubt creeps in my mind. I'm telling myself, Josh, you're not good enough. Josh, you don't have what it takes. You're not talented. You're nothing like dot, 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 doubt. And then boom, pandemic. And then my wife starts purchasing like 75 handwoven masks on Amazon, right? Rush delivery. You know, I got some time now, you know, we're at home a little bit more, social distancing from people. And I kind of restarted a relationship with an old friend, and her name is Carne Asada Fries. You know what I'm saying? And she brought her friend, Horchata, right? And this downward spiral of getting out of the normal starts happening in our lives. And then boom, heightened division in our country, right? 9 minutes away from us, we hear riots. We hear things going on and we indulge ourselves in the news, and Bree's looking to me for protection. I'm looking up at God like, Lord, like, you know, I'm having neat sweats over here. Where are you? Do you like not see what's going on in our country? And a doubt creeps in. For you, that might be financial loss. For you, that might be relational hurt or loneliness or anxiety or, you know, something else that nobody knows about. And then we start to question, God, are you even there? Because like many times I get in my own head. And when I snack on too much bad news, right? When I snack on too much social media or whatever outlet, I give place to the things that are actually toxic to my spirit, man. I allow doubt to creep in. And I literally give it like permission to create a wedge between me and God. And I become this kind of recycled being of toxicity, right? Doubt. And David says it like this, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Man, I gotta pivot. We have to put that doubt away. We have to detoxify from it. And instead, we ought to put something else in. Go ahead and write this. I will trust what God says. Instead of doubt, I will trust what God says. Okay, instead of letting that wedge grow larger and larger between me and truth, I choose to trust in what God says and His promises. And the reality is this, there are a lot of bad things, okay, going on around the world. Not just here, around the world. Things that you've experienced, bad things that I've experienced, man, hurts and losses and loneliness and injustices, it's real, okay? But lest we forget that there are also a lot of good things happening too. Kingdom things, God repurposed things, things that are happening around the world that God is purposing for our good. Let's not forget the sovereignty of Almighty God. And you know, you might not know what that word means, sovereignty, but this is what it means. God is a supreme authority and all things are under His control. And that's the truth of God's character. And the point is this, okay? Whichever one of those focuses that you choose to feed, that's what's gonna grow. Which one you choose to starve, that's the one that's gonna die. Okay, am I feeding myself doubt? or will I choose to trust in what God says? This is what Proverbs says in chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Hey, don't lean on your own reasoning. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on man's assumptions. Lean on God's truth, okay? We have to lean on God's truth. Here's the second one. Here's another area that we have to detox so that we can truly live. Going to write this down, negativity. We got to get rid of the negativity, okay? It's the, oh my God, like, you know, nothing will ever go right attitude. Okay, this cup is always half empty. Actually, you know, someone else stole the cup. You know, you don't have a cup anymore and it's gone. And the spirit, it's the spirit that puts everything into the ground. This will never work, okay? We can't do it. For me, it's always been, hey, you're not good enough. You're never gonna amount to anything. Just quit now. Like there's always this dark cloud hovering over you and just kind of raining on everything you got. Okay, it's a negative mindset. And you don't realize how that is actually polluting our spirits. Okay, and I'll be the first to admit, sometimes that's me. Okay, sometimes I let that control me. Sometimes I let that toxic mindset control my day. So we've got to change something. We've got to pivot somewhere. We have to detox from negativity and do a couple things. Okay, here's kind of the first one. Go ahead and write this one down. I will think what God thinks. I will think what God thinks. Okay, we got to get that toxin out of us. It's saying, nope, I'm not going to settle for negativity. I'm not going to stay under that cloud that's constantly raining and pouring because, you know what, I am made for more than that. You know what? You know what? I'm better than that. And you're better than that. And Isaiah says this in chapter 26 and verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Man, I got to get my mind right. I got to get my thinking right. I got to put my mind on God because that's what produces peace, man. It starts right here. The mind is a powerful place and even can be looked at as a rudder that steers us in a direction. So if I want to head in the right direction of God's peace, okay, if I want to head in the direction of God's guidance and God's truth, I have to set my mind on the things of God. Here's another one. I will say what God says. I will say what God says. And we got to watch out for what's coming out. Okay, because what goes in, right, eventually comes out. Man, the Lord is all up in my grill today, man. That's a challenge for me. God knows I struggle with this, man. I'm like Peter, who can sometimes speak in passion without knowledge, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times it gets me in trouble. And sometimes what I kind of spew out of my mouth, you know, it doesn't have God on it sometimes. The tongue is a powerful thing. Words can either inspire or they can destroy. This is not in your notes, okay? But the book of James even talks about how great forest fires are started by little sparks. Then it goes on and it describes how a word wrongly placed can do that. Okay, and this is the equation, right? It's setting a whole forest on fire by the spark of your words. And let me tell you, during times of weakness, during times of even just downright sin in my life, I've used my words in that way. I use them to cut down, to get even. And the aftermath of all that has felt like I've destroyed an entire ecosystem, like I burned down a village. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever used your words to cut somebody down? Maybe even someone who is very close to you in your home. Sometimes, man, I can get mean and I can get judgmental and I can prejudge people. I can cut down with my words. And this is what Ephesians says. It says in chapter 4, verse 29, do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And you might be like, Josh, man, I can't do it. I can't, my words, I can't promise that, you know, maybe not. But you can try for 7 days. You can try to detox for the next 7 days. Let's make this faith thing practical. Man, let's walk out the word of God. How about for the next 7 days, you let the words that come out of your mouth be good and helpful? so that it's gonna encourage somebody else this week? How about you get out of your, you know, comfort zone to encourage, you know, one person every day for the next 7 days? Okay, that might be a text. That might be a phone call, a Facebook message, a smoke signal, a carrier pigeon, I don't know. But let's make that practical this week. Maybe you buy someone coffee and you just kind of leave an encouraging note on it. Maybe you choose your words wisely and you help bring life to somebody else this week. Test it for the next 7 days and see how it challenges you, okay? Hey, here's the third one. You're probably not at all surprised with this blank, okay? But write this down, okay? We've got to detox some sin. We've got to detox sin. Anything sinful pollutes our spirits. And you know what? The truth is, none of us get this sin thing, you know, right all the time. Okay, we're not perfect. Okay, we understand that. And, you know, when people sometimes hear this word, it sits kind of weird sometimes. It can even seem super religious, right? And if you've had bad church experience before, you might have, that word might have been used and abused in your life to bring you down. Like you could never do anything right. And when you see this word, it might feel very like there's a lot of guilt, like there's a lot of shame attached to it. Okay, I don't blame you, but let me give you a better understanding, okay, of the word sin. Because that word sin, okay, when translated from the Greek, it literally means to miss the mark. It means we are missing the mark. Okay, now follow me here for a second. This is how I read the Bible. If I miss the target, okay, if I miss the mark, the question is why? Okay, why is that? Why am I missing this mark in my life? And it's simply because I'm aiming at the wrong thing. My sights are set on the wrong thing. The secret, okay, to overcoming sin isn't to condemn yourself. It isn't to shame somebody, okay? The secret to overcoming sin is just simply to re-aim. I gotta re-aim. Okay, I'm aimed at the wrong thing, so I gotta readjust. So how does the Christian, how does the follower of Jesus do that, okay? The Bible word for this is repent. Okay, ever hear that word before, repent? Maybe you've heard it, you know, an old churchy term, and all that it means is this: I need to turn away, okay? I need to change my direction, and I just need to aim differently. Okay, so if I'm missing the mark, I've got to pivot and readjust somewhere. So when I detox sinful habits, I take those things out of my life, and I readjust, and I will turn to what God wants. I will turn to what God wants. I know what I want. You know what I'm saying? I know what my flesh wants. I know the easy thing to do. I know the thing that gives, you know, me best self-gratification, but I also know that that's toxic for my spirit. Let me ask you a question. How many of us have allowed ourselves to aim in the wrong direction because we got comfortable with quarantine? Okay? It's similar to what, you know, pastors like to call the summer slump, okay? Our regular schedules are not normal. We have a bit more time on our hands. We get, you know, a little looser, you know, with some things. We kind of, you know, put our guard down more than usual, okay? The summer slump. And during this time, maybe, you know, we get all we let all the crazy of social media and everything happening kind of put our sights off course. And we've developed some of these bad habits in this season. And we just need to re-aim, that's all. Okay, we just need to re-aim and kind of readjust those sights. Okay, you don't have to complicate it. It's just adjusting those sights. Okay, I love Romans chapter 6. It says this in verse 13, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." And we talked about this, you know, a couple weeks ago. I told you the story of when I went all in at that youth summer camp, right? I wasn't gonna hold back. And the challenge is the same even today, to give your whole heart to God, to go all in. Let's not just give 90%. You wanna experience what all that God has for you. Give yourselves completely to God. You are dead, but now you have new life. And that's not just, you know, taking stuff out, but we got to put some new stuff in. So let me leave you with some, you know, practical steps today, some areas that for the next 7 days, I want to challenge you, you know, to feed into your body, to feed into your spirit. Let's take out the toxic. Let's put in the nutrients on a micro and macro level, okay? Let's detox the doubt, okay? The God, you don't care about me. God, you don't see my situation. Are you even there? Okay, let's detox the doubt. Let's detox the negativity. Okay, I'm not good enough. My life will never get any better. Okay, I'm always gonna be a failure. Let's detox that. Let's detox the sin. Okay, I know that's disconnected from God and it'll lead me to a place that I don't wanna end up. I've got to re-aim, I gotta readjust the sights. Okay, we gotta put some good things in, the things that will nourish our spirits back to life. Let's put God's word to the test. Here are some things to put in this week, things to replace what we just, you know, took out, okay? Here's the first one, the things that we have to feed, okay, God's word. God's word. I'm gonna feed on God's word this week. I'm gonna spend some intentional time within Him. I'm gonna read and listen and to learn and to grow in my spirit. Because if there's, you know, if we're gonna believe in what God believes, okay, if we're gonna have His thoughts, okay, this happens through His word. We have to reprogram some things to God's reality. Okay, you might say, you know, I'm gonna memorize a verse this week, you know, that speaks to me. I'm gonna, you know, choose a new verse this week that really speaks life into me or my family. You know, something that reminds me of God's sovereignty. Something that reminds me that God is actually in control. It reminds me of God's goodness. It talks about His character. I'm committed to putting God's work in this week. I'm taking out some of those toxins and I'm bringing in the nutrients. And here's the next blank. I will, and we're leaving it blank. Okay, that one's on you. Okay, we left it blank on purpose. Okay, what are you gonna do? Go to write something down. I will what? What are you gonna do this week? Okay, maybe you're gonna restart a new quiet time with God. Maybe you're gonna read a psalm or a chapter of a Proverbs a day just for the next 7 days. Maybe you'll memorize one verse a day. Okay, maybe instead of, you know, going straight to social media, okay, like I do sometimes, or to the news or to the paper, you first pause in God's presence. God, what do you want to teach me? How are you speaking to me today? Maybe you memorize a verse together as a family, okay? Maybe you'll jump onto our church app, right? Did you know that in our church app, our You Belong app that we have for Center Church, there's a daily Bible reading section there. I don't know if anybody even knows that. It's called Everyday Bible. Who would have known? But I don't know, maybe you just kind of, you know, restart that thing and you fire that app up and you do a daily quiet time with the Lord this week. I don't know what that looks like for you, but the key is, okay, take some action. Let's do something. And the big idea is this, okay, we are shutting out the voices of doubt, okay, the blogs, the news, etc., whatever that is, and we're gonna turn up the volume of God's truth. Okay, what are you gonna do this week? This is what Psalm says in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil men. Instead, they find their joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. I'm not only gonna feed myself God's word, okay? But here's number two, okay? I'm gonna feed myself worship. I'm gonna feed myself worship, and specifically, we're talking about musical worship, right? Songs that are about God. Songs that it lifts our faith and our spirits, music that speaks about God's character. It reminds us of who He is and what He's done, okay? And the next blank there is on you, okay? What are you gonna do this week with that? Okay, I will what? Okay, in respect to musical worship, okay? Are you gonna make a playlist of worship songs this week and kind of listen to that for the next 7 days? Okay, or maybe for this week you decide just to listen to worship. Okay, there are times where I've done that, okay, and I still do. And it's changing, you know, just changing the genre. Just let's think about it that way. I'm just gonna change the genre for the next 7 days. I'm gonna put this aside. I'm gonna feed myself worship. Maybe you play an instrument or you sing or you decide, you know, to record yourself worshiping and you share it on your platform. Okay, maybe you listen to one faith-based message a day, every day this week. I don't know. What does that look like for you? Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says this, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you." Okay? Do I listen to gangster rap? Yes. Do I listen to country? Sometimes, all right? Do I always listen to worship music? No. Do I need to detox from the things that influence my mind and my heart because it disconnects me from closeness to God? Yes, I do. I gotta do that sometimes. And my best guess is you do too. Take the next 7 days to detox some of these things. Man, let's fill our minds and our hearts with what is true and honorable and right and pure, lovely and admirable. Let's think on those things. Things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Because if there is something that I know for sure that we all need, even right now in the context of what's happening in our world, we need God's peace. We need His peace to come over us. And that happens through worship. That happens when we think and fixate our thoughts on the things of God's word that are lovely, admirable, pure, the things that are of God. Okay, here's the last one. Okay, write this down. Prayer. We need to put in some prayer this week. This is how we communicate with God. It's coming to our Heavenly Father and getting real with Him. Maybe you've got, out of the rhythm of spending time with Jesus this week. And for the next 7 days, you kind of set aside a time. Okay, you pick a specific spot and you just communicate with God. You know, when I have a doctor's appointment, when I have, things that are important to me, that I gotta remember, I put it on my calendar. How important is God's time, spending time in His presence? How important is that to you? Maybe you just need to put it on your calendar this week. Maybe you need to set a little reminder. What does that look like for you, okay? And again, the next blanket is I will. What does that look like for you? I will what? What are you gonna write down there, okay? Are you just gonna take the next 7 days and just spend 10 to 15 minutes in God's presence? Every day this week. Maybe as a family, you come together and you pray. Okay, every single night, every single morning. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe that's what you guys do. Maybe you reach out to an old friend or a new friend and you ask them, hey, is there anything that I can pray for? Okay, there's power in that. There's power in community and advocating for each other. I love what Chronicles says in chapter 7. Verse 14, it says, if my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. Do you want to see our land restored? Do you want to see your family restored? Do you want, spiritual health? Man, we got to come in humility. The Bible says we gotta be able to admit that we don't have it all together all the time. We gotta communicate with God in prayer this week. We have to readjust. We have to re-aim because we might be missing the mark. We have to actively seek God's presence this week, okay? Turning away from the things that are disconnecting us from a loving God. Because God's saying this to us, hey, I'm ready for you. I'm waiting on you. I'm here. I want to be part of your life in a deeper way. I want to be in your home. I want to be in your family, in your relationships. I want to be at your work, in your best, and at your worst times. I just want to be with you. And when you come, He says this, hey, I'll listen, I'll forgive, and I'll restore. Maybe simply you just need to pray, even today, even right now, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Say that right now, Holy Spirit, God, how are you speaking to me? How are you challenging me? Okay, what do I need to change this week? Okay, what does that look like for you? What needs to be detoxed out of your life? How do you need to re-aim? How do you need to kind of readjust your sight so that you don't miss the mark? What does that look like for us? Okay, and you might be new around here, that's okay. I want you to know that this is a place where ordinary people just like you and me are always taking our next step with God. What's yours? What does that look like practically for you this week? Man, would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this time that, you know, we can stop and pause in your presence and be challenged by your word. I pray, Lord, that I and everybody else, God, that is tuning with us today would detoxify some things that are disconnecting us from you, that are, you know, making us miss the mark. I pray that we do something practical this week, that we'd spend time with your presence, that we'd spend time in your word, that we'd fill ourselves with the things that are right and true and honorable and lovely, the things that are from on high, God. And we are choosing to navigate this life the Jesus way, the better way, God. So we surrender that to you, Lord. Thank you so much for all you've done. In your name, amen.